You know, it's amazing how God orders and puts things together. In our sermon series in 1 John, making much of Jesus, when we came to Mother's Day, the scripture was absolutely perfect because it talked about honoring the Lord and loving Him. And when I think about my mom and the impact on my life that she made, it was really to teach me that Jesus loved me, and because of His love for me, I can love Him and love others. And then we come to Father's Day. And as a pastor, it's always very difficult to put together messages that are specific for a day or a moment in time. Well, then I read the next scripture in our that's right in line with our series, and it talks about being in the Father's family. Are you kidding me? I didn't even have to go out of order. It's just amazing how God works like that. But you know, I was thinking this week, it's really good to be a man, isn't it, fellas? It's really good to be a man. I look at what my wife goes through, taking care of the three men in her life on a daily basis. And then we go out, and when our female dog died, we got a male dog to replace him. My poor wife is completely outnumbered in our home. But still, she holds her own pretty well. She's learned. It's funny how after years and years of marriage, how your attributes kind of rub off on each other sometimes, isn't it? Because while I haven't become any less sarcastic, she's become a lot more sarcastic in order to just compete in the Bailey household. But you know, it's really good to be a man. I found some reasons why. Number one, phone conversations can be over in literally 30 seconds flat. Ladies, raise your hand if you've ever had a 30-second phone conversation. Really? Are you telling the truth? Okay, maybe some of you, but the vast majority of you have never had a 30-second phone conversation. A 5-day holiday only requires one suitcase when you're a man. There you go. Case in point right there. You literally only need 2 or 3 pairs of shoes. Period. For men, gray hair and wrinkles only add character. That doesn't talk about bald spots. I don't know what this does. Besides, just make me look old. Another reason it's great to be a guy is if another man shows up at the party wearing the same outfit as you, you might just become lifelong friends. Another reason it's good to be a guy is that occasional, well-timed belch. It's almost expected. You know, but the greatest reason of all that it's great to be a guy is we get to be dads. We get to participate in our children's lives and watch them grow and watch them make mistakes and watch them learn and watch them develop. Especially, it's great to be a Christian dad. And despite the choices and the decisions, I know that all three of my children know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. We as Christians just, and especially Christian dads, it's a privilege to be a part of a family that loves the Lord. You know, I think one of the reasons that God created the family is because He knew what it was like to be a dad, and He loved it so much. I think one of the reasons that God created the family is that His intense, overwhelming love for His people whom He created, He wanted to share that privilege with us men and what it's like to be a dad. Today in 1 John 3, 1 through 9, our text explains three benefits of being in our Heavenly Father's family. Aren't you glad to be a part of God's family? Aren't you privileged? We're going to talk about three wonderful benefits. Stand with me in honor of God's word as we see in our text what it's the privileges of being in the Father's family. 1 John 3, 1 through 9 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. All who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God." So, you may be seated. In this text, we see what the benefits of being part of the Father's family really are. And the first one is that when you are in the Father's family, you receive His unconditional acceptance. Verse 1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God." And that is what we are. That is what we are. Whatever your father or anyone in your family has said to you. Some of us have lived in very hurtful situations. Some of us have been through a childhood where we were not accepted, where we were not unconditionally loved. But dear friend, regardless of your earthly childhood, I want you to know something very, very important. Your Heavenly Father has lavished His unconditional love on you. And in that unconditional love comes unconditional acceptance once you have made the Savior yours. Rob Parsons, the founder of Care for the Family, often asked this question in his seminars: what is the most important gift a father can give to his child? He always gives the same answer: it is unconditional love and acceptance. The key to a child's heart is to let him or her know that you, as their daddy, love them anyway, whatever they may have done, no matter what will happen, no matter what the circumstances of their lives are. Because, dear friend, inevitably we will all make wrong decisions. Amen? Inevitably we will all fall short. And while you, as a dad, must use those teachable moments to correct and to challenge your children to behave and live and have better decision making, and sometimes as hard as it is to suffer the consequences of their bad decisions, you also are there to say, "I love you," and nothing will ever change that. You're also there to be with them and to strive alongside of them and let them know you're far from perfect too. Believe me, my children know well how imperfect I am. They live with me on a daily basis. Sometimes I lose my temper. Sometimes I'm easily frustrated. Sometimes I say things that I don't mean. But I hope and pray that when my children pull their covers up at night, they know that that man over there loves them, that their daddy, their father, cares for them deeply. But as deeply and as passionately as I love my children, and I know, men, as you love yours, the love of the Father is far better, far more perfect. And that's why it's such a challenge. It's such, and we read here in our scripture about that enemy, the devil, who wants to tempt us and eat away at our integrity so that our children are become confused and led astray. But regardless of your bad decisions, regardless of how you fall short, regardless of how your children or your grandchildren fall short, in the Father's family, we have unconditional love and continuous acceptance. Because the wonderful thing about God is He welcomes us back every time. He always forgives. He never holds a grudge. He's always willing, with arms open wide, to say, "Return to me. My love for you never changed." It's poignant for your children to learn that God loves them with an everlasting love. May we as dads model that unconditional love and acceptance. Romans 5:5 says, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Did you see that? We have hope that the Holy Spirit will always welcome us back, because God has poured into our hearts His unconditional love and acceptance through the presence of His Holy Spirit. What a wonderful gift. Regardless, dear friend, if your parents loved you and you felt loved every day or not, I hope that as a child of God, that His love will fill your hearts even now. Have you experienced a lack of love and acceptance from your earthly family? I want to tell you today that your Heavenly Father welcomes all who will place their hope and faith in Jesus Christ into His family, where there is unconditional love and acceptance. That's the first benefit, and what a benefit it is. And if that were all there was, that would be enough, wouldn't it? But that's not all, because this passage goes on to say that in the Father's family, you resemble His unchanging attributes. The longer you are saved, the longer you are in the Father's family, the more you grow in Christ, the more and more you look like Him. Just yesterday, or actually this morning, Matt, we were standing in the kitchen smelling the cinnamon rolls that Debbie was making. All four of us, including Cosmo the dog, were all in our little kitchen. And Matt just made a comment. He said, "You know, there's been a couple of times lately where I've mistaken Nathan for you." And I said, "Hello." My children, as I've shared with you, I believe refer to this as the Eye of Sauron. For those of you who are familiar with Lord of the Rings, you know what that means. Hope I'm not as evil as Sauron, but because of our shape, and now Nathan even fits in my clothes. You know, it's just amazing and uncanny. We hold up our hands together, and they're like mirror images of each other. He's even a little taller than me now, which he's quite proud of, by the way, just asking. That's one of my old suits. that he's wearing this morning. We're the same. It's uncanny how much he resembles his father. And I apologize to him for that repeatedly. But when you have the same DNA, you see the family resemblance, don't you? Sometimes it's just striking. My wife Debbie and her younger sister, her middle sister, Teresa, there's no mistake when you see the two of them standing side by side that they're related. And what God wants to do for us as part of his family is make us look more like Jesus. Amen. And the more like Jesus we look like, the more like Jesus we act like, the more like Jesus we resemble, the more people will be drawn to him. Because Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And as we learn to have that family resemblance of God's family in Christ, our behavior changes, our attitudes change, the way our desires change, and suddenly we're having a profoundly better impact on people than we used to. And that's the beautiful thing about this life, that we can make mistakes and that we can mess it up, but as long as you still are alive here on planet Earth, you have an opportunity to be different today than you were yesterday. It was back in the late 1930s, and the snow was about 8 inches deep on a little farm in northern Kentucky. A dairy farmer was about to set out of his house to tend the cows so that they could to milk them, which he had to do every day, and generally did it about the same time every morning before dawn it even broke. But this morning was going to be different, because when he was about to walk out the door, he looked behind him and saw his 8-year-old little boy quickly putting on his boots. And the little boy said, "Daddy, wait, today I want to go with you." The daddy said, "Fine, boy, but you'd better get your boots on because the snow is deep right now." The boy finished buckling his boots and felt proud to be with his daddy that morning. And as he walked out the door, he looked back at his mama as if to assure her that he was finally big enough to help his daddy with the morning chores. The door closed behind them, and they were off on the adventure the boy had been waiting so long for. The snow was hard for the boy to get through, and he found it easier to step in his daddy's footprints that made the way to the barn. Proud to be with his daddy, the boy reached forward and grabbed his daddy's coat and said, "Look, Daddy, I'm stepping in your footprints." The father stopped in his tracks, turned to his son and said, with a tear in his eye and all the wisdom in his heart, "Well, son, I better watch where I walk then." Men, I want to tell you something. Your children are not only going to watch you, they're going to follow you. And they're going to follow you into the good, and they're going to follow you into the bad. One of the hardest things as a sinful, flawed person is to see your children making the same mistakes you did and falling into the same patterns of sin that you did. But one of the greatest ways that you as a dad can recognize your shortcomings is to admit to your children that you're not perfect. To admit to your children that you are flawed just like them. but that you love them enough to try to help them avoid the pitfalls that you fell into. I've shared with you many times that I deeply regret my past as an alcoholic. And I pray every day that my children will not ever even taste alcohol. But I also want you to know that if they do, that I will be right there for them. Not to chastise, but to love. Because I had a family who loved and prayed for me relentlessly while I was going down that dark path in my life. And God delivered me from it to the praise of His glory. But this world is hard. And this world is full of sin. And this world has many pitfalls. But as a dad, I'm also so thankful to look into my children's eyes and see the family resemblance. May God look into our hearts, into our lives, and see us looking more and more like Jesus. Philippians 3, verse 9 through 11 says, "And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ." The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Because we are in Christ, and because we participate in dying to sin, we can be resurrected into life. That's why as someone is baptized, I will say, "I baptize you, my brother or sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And as they're going into the water, I will say, dying to their old way of life and rising again into the new. Because Paul also wrote that anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And because of that new life, that resurrection power, we have the potential and the ability to be different as his children. And then, as our children walk in our steps, they won't be led astray, but they'll be led to the foot of the cross. In the Father's family, you resemble his unchanging attributes. And the third and final benefit is that in the Father's family, you receive his unlimited atonement. Verses 4 through 9 talk about everyone who sins is breaking the law, and them that keep on sinning are in the darkness and don't know him. And what this passage is talking about is people who continue to live in perpetual, ongoing lifestyle of sin. All of these verbs in this passage are in the tense that means not just a single sin, because we all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. But it speaks of a person who can sin, keep on sinning, and enjoy being in sin. No one who is truly saved can enjoy their sin. No one who is truly saved can escape the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, you can certainly quench the Spirit, and if you are a person who is falling away from the Lord and continuing in this lifestyle of sin and the activity of sin and continuously committing sin in a perpetual way, God says, "I still love you. And if you will confess your sin, I am faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness." John just said that in 1 John 1:9. But here he's speaking about this lifestyle of sin. And what Jesus Christ has done has given you the unlimited ability. You know, I learned very quickly in my cell phone plan that limited data and having to pay for your data as you go was not going to work for my family. Because I have sons who like to game on their phones, especially my oldest son. And he didn't realize early on, and when we were buying his cell phone plans, that when he's not on the family's Wi-Fi network and he's outside of his home, that we were paying for that data that he was burning through, gigabyte by gigabyte. So I got smart as a dad. I bought the unlimited plan. And while it was more expensive, we didn't have those huge cell phone bills anymore. I could pretty much predict what my cell phone bill. And so unlimited works for our family. Aren't you glad that God's grace isn't limited? You know, there are some well-meaning believers who say that the atonement is limited to those who are predestined to be saved. I believe that whosoever will may come. I believe that it's not the will of the Father that any should perish. You see, for those who believe, and I'm not going to get into the whole raging Calvinism versus Arminianism debate, and I'm not going to bore you with theological arguments that have been raging throughout the centuries. All I know is, the more hearts that change, the more people get elected. The more doors we knock on, the more people get saved. The more people we invite to hear God's word, the more people. And I've never, ever seen someone who wants to give their heart and life to Christ turned away. And I don't believe that there will be. I believe that God has the infinite foreknowledge to know who will be saved and who will reject Him. But I also believe that God gave each of us a free will to choose Him or reject Him. So, dear friend, please understand with me that in the Father's family, you have the unlimited atonement of Jesus Christ. Because even though there will be some who reject Him, there will be some who say no to the Lord Jesus Christ, His blood that He shed on Calvary's cross is still effective. The theological term is efficacious. And that means that His blood that He shed would be enough to save every single person who's ever been born on planet Earth. He's God. He's the Creator. He's the Sustainer. He's the Redeemer. And if every person who ever lived on planet Earth would say yes to Jesus, there'd be enough room in heaven for them. But in the Father's family, there is His unlimited atonement. You know, we throw the word hero around a lot these days. We call Marvel action people. Actors, heroes. I believe a hero, the definition of a hero, is someone who has sacrificially given of themselves for the benefit of others. I read a short prose, it's not a poem because it doesn't rhyme, written by a Christian son to his dad. It goes something like this. My hero is the man who taught me how to catch a baseball. He taught me how to shoot a free throw, but he also taught me how to do something else. He taught me how to be a father and a husband. He showed me a father's love has no boundaries, A father's love is mimicked after the heavenly father's love. He showed me a husband's love is everything. He showed me a husband's love is endless. I could ask my hero anything. Daddy, daddy, why do birds fly? Daddy, daddy, can I go with you today? Daddy, daddy, how can I go to heaven? Daddy, will you teach me to drive? Dad, do you like this college? Dad, this is the girl I want to marry. Dad, why did this happen to me? Dad, do you like my daughter's name? Dad, do you like this house? Who knows what the next question may be, but I know my dad has the answer. Thank you, Dad, for being my hero. You know, our earthly fathers may be very wise, but unfortunately, none of us have all the answers. Only our Heavenly Father can provide us with eternal help, eternal hope, eternal security. Our earthly fathers have the ability to make us feel safe and secure in this world, but our Heavenly Father can give us eternal security and freedom from sin through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Romans 3, 24 and 25. You know, it's very interesting. We quote Romans 3, 23 all the time. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You could probably, most of you could probably stand up and recite Romans 3, 23. But do you know what 24 and 25 say? Well, I'm going to share them with you right now. After it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, verse 24 says, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Wow! I think we need to memorize 24 along with 23, don't we? Because that's the bad news. Now we get the good news. All are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of His blood to be received by faith. It's unlimited atonement. For all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. To as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to be called the children of God. Praise His name for His unlimited atonement. So this morning, we have benefits in the Father's family. First, you receive His unconditional love and acceptance. Second, you resemble His unchanging attributes. And finally, you receive His unlimited atonement. So here's the only question that's left. Are you in the Father's family? Have you received the free gift of grace and salvation that comes from a personal love relationship with Jesus Christ? That's the question. Have your adoption papers been signed? He welcomes anyone who will call upon His name to be saved.